Goedemorgen, hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. We vinden het fijn dat zoveel mensen kijken in Nederland en over de hele wereld. Er is vandaag veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. Het kinder, jongeren en het grote koor zingen allemaal tegelijk het prachtige Gloria uit de Hoge Mis van Mozart. En Bridget Bentley zingt ook een prachtig lied over toewijding. En dan spreekt Jim Penner over de twee V's. De V's van vreugde en vergeving. En bij Hour of Power Nederland is Nel van Gasteren te gast. Een bijzondere jonge dame, op hogere leeftijd, sprankelend iemand die een bijzonder verhaal heeft. Nou, wacht het gewoon af. Welkom bij Hour of Power.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
This is the day that God has made for you and for me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Turn around, shake hands with somebody close to you, and give them the blessing. God loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all of these voices, all of these persons, all of these collection of minds and memories and moods that are in this room today. And there is a mixture here that is strong and positive and sweet and beautiful and loving and kind and encouraging. It is your presence, Jesus, living through us. And so this becomes the place of God this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated and hear the scripture which comes to us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus spoke these words nearly 2,000 years ago. Unbelievably powerful today. No psychologist, no psychiatrist, no doctorate in counseling has ever written words that are more significant, insightful, and honest than these. Here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be treated mercifully. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before all that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. These are the words of Jesus.
today I get to introduce to you an amazing couple, Jay and Beth Lakin. And please welcome them with me now. Beth. Jay. So Jay and Beth Lakin. A typical family, four children. So let's go down through the ages. There's Ben, and
he's 17.
He's 17. Then there's Becca.
Becca's 14.
And then Abigail.
And Abigail's 12.
And then Noah.
And little Noah is 9.
9. So four children. You guys were living your dream, the American dream.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You were making so much money, you were able to buy, purchase, and even furnish to the hilt mm-hmm. your dream home. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, we were living in Atlanta. I was working in the mortgage business, and I turned 40 years old, and all the things that we had accumulated, I realized at the end of the day, had not really brought me fulfillment. Mm. So Beth and I went away for the weekend and decided, you know, what we need to do is we need to go on a family missions trip. And for some reason, Africa just burned on our heart. Mm. I'd been overseas in college and knew that it would have an impact on us, but didn't realize how much it really would impact our family. And we got over there, and of course, the poverty is just, it's startling, and to see people living in those conditions. But even in the middle of that, what I think made the biggest impact on us was the joy and the community that the African people had.
Hmm. Now, you brought your children with you.
We did.
Except for Noah.
We did. Yep. Noah was 4 at the time, yeah. So he couldn't make it.
Yeah. That's a big thing. I mean, I don't know a lot of parents would even have the faith to do that, to go and bring their children with them to a country like Africa.
Right. So. And we were so glad we did, because yeah. coming home and trying to articulate
yes.
what happened in our hearts mm-hmm. during that trip would have been challenging, and they experienced it with us. So we came home experiencing very similar emotions together.
Yeah. That trip to Africa turned your world upside down, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It did. When we got home, we walked into the front room, and I remember it like it was yesterday. We just laid on the floor. And we began to weep. And it was at that moment that we realized how poor we were, mm-hmm. that we lacked mm-hmm. the same joy and community yeah. that the African people had. And you know, you always think that you're gonna go and give and do something to help them, but inevitably, they're the ones who made the hugest impact
yeah.
on us.
Yeah.
And so we knew that it wasn't just enough for us to continue to go through the motions and hear the messages. We began to read God's word with new eyes and to go, what does it really say about caring for the poor and the needy and the
That's
oppressed?
Right.
And we knew that we needed to do something about mm-hmm. our faith, mm-hmm. so we decided to act on that.
Here you are. You've sold your home.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Sold the belongings. Gone. And taken very little with you. You've got mm-hmm. this big RV, mm-hmm. and you don't have really much support, fiscal support.
Right.
You can continue to do your job from afar, but not quite as
right.
effectively. And you have no itinerary, right? Is that true?
Right.
You just went out in
right.
faith like Abraham, yeah?
Serving in communities
wow.
all across the U.S. in rescue missions, homeless shelters, senior centers, you name it. We painted for churches. We just did whatever the need was in the area we were in. We just were there trying to just show the love of Jesus tangibly, physically, through acts of service. And that was our simple message in the beginning. But
I love it, because I think about your children and I think about your family and what a rich, rich family life you must have because of this. Is that true?
Absolutely.
So true.
We were close as a family before, but being in this amount of space has not only made us physically close, it's made us emotionally and relationally really tight mm-hmm. and really close. And just serving together.
Exactly.
Just makes a huge just impact in the family unit. It just brings you close together. And then you see, too, what else is out there. I think our kids mm-hmm. were growing up in a bubble
mm-hmm.
and not even realizing it. We had, you know, protected them, and now we get to just experience all types of people in all walks of life, and our kids are comfortable going up and hugging and introducing themselves. But now it's turned into not just our family serving. We're really passionate about mobilizing others.
Yes.
And so along with our book, we have written a small group study. Mm. And so you can yeah. share about that.
Yeah, it's just designed to help people discover God's heart, their purpose, and how to best serve others. And it's been so powerful to see, you know, Noah at the time, 5 years old, going up hugging homeless people. They knew that there was no hidden motive there. Mm-hmm. In fact, one guy that we met made a profound impact on us. It was under the bridges in Atlanta, and we looked up, and there he was. He had slick back hair. He had missing teeth. He looked like something out of Pirates of the Caribbean. He had a beer about that big, and we began to talk with him, and Noah handed him a lunch and hugged him, and I'll never forget his words. He looked at me in the eye, and he said, "Show me what you say."
Yes.
And I thought, wow, profound words from a drunk guy under the bridge. How many people had said things to this man but had never followed through?
Right.
And so he was really calling us into action. And I think that that's the call for all of us,
right,
is that not all of us are called to sell our, or, you know, sell our house and buy an RV, but we're all called to do something.
So can we close in prayer?
Absolutely.
Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that Jay and Beth had the faith to say yes to this dream. Thank you that they discovered your true dream home for them and their family. Thank you for the lessons that they have learned in the process and the lessons they can teach us about following you and having the faith to do whatever it takes to step out and follow you to your dream for us. So, Lord, we just join together and pray for all of those who are watching and are listening that they too will be inspired to say yes and discover their true dream home. In the name of Jesus, we pray this together. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jay.
So thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless you.
Even when they could not.
En dat was Bridget Bentley en ze zong het lied Choose to Believe. En wat betekent dat nou? Dat betekent dat het een keuze is om te geloven. En je moet elke dag keuzes in je leven maken. En dit is misschien, en dat weet ik wel bijna zeker, de belangrijkste keuze die je kunt maken. En we vinden het heel bijzonder om zo af en toe eens met een Hour of Power kijker of kijkster te praten, waarin Hour of Power alles bepalend is geweest op de manier waarop hij of zij gelooft. En dat is zeker van toepassing voor Nel van Gastruid, Hertogenbosch. Nel, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Zie je er prachtig uit. Mag ik dat eerst even zeggen?
Dank je. Jij ook.
Ja, ik pas me aan bij het gezelschap.
Ja? Ja. Oh zo?
Ja.
Oh leuk.
Je bent 81 jaar jong.
Ja.
Ja. Werkt nog driftig op de computer.
Ja.
Luistert naar gospelmuziek op je iPhone.
Ja.
Je twittert ook of nog niet?
Nee.
Nog net niet?
Nee.
Oh.
Nee.
Oh. Maar geweldig zeg. Waar komt dat sprankelende jongen vandaan?
Ja, ik weet het niet hoor. Het zit gewoon in me, denk ik. Ja, hè?
De hemel geeft, die vangt, die heeft, zeg ik altijd.
Ja.
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 Hoe ben jij opgegroeid?
Nou, ik ben dus katholiek opgegroeid. En we hadden een heel warm gezin. Ik heb een fijne jeugd gehad. Ja, ik werd wel gepest, dat wel. Maar thuis was het heerlijk. Ik had een broer en een zus. We hadden bijna nooit ruzie, het was echt fijn. Toen ik dus jong was, toen was ik echt katholiek. Maar toen ik ouder werd, toen zei het me niks meer. Als ik in de kerk kwam en ja, de Latijn en Gregoriaans en die preken, ik zat meestal te slapen. Ik moest soms met mijn ouders mee voorin zitten. Maar dat wilde ik niet, want dan kon hij zien dat ik zat te slapen. Sorry.
Meneer pastoor.
Ja. Ja. Nou ja, dus. En ja, ik miste ook niks. Nee.
En zo heb je tot voor kort geleefd?
Ja, tot ik 77 was.
Ja, want toen was je op een tuinfeest en wat gebeurde er?
Nou, ik was dus, mijn buurman die gaf een tuinfeest. Wij hebben een hele grote tuin achter onze flat. En nou, en daar was ik natuurlijk uitgenodigd. En een vriend van mij liep er ook. En toen gingen we een beetje samen lopen wandelen in die tuin. En toen zegt hij, nou, kijk jij nog wel eens naar Hour of Power? Ik zeg, nee. Dat moet je toch nou eens doen, zegt hij. Dat lijkt me nou net iets voor jou. Ik zeg, nou ja, ik zeg, dat wil ik wel weer doen. Ik zal wel eens een keer kijken. Maar ja, ik ging kijken en dacht, ja, het is toch eigenlijk wel weer mooi. Want ik had jaren, ja, ik weet niet hoe lang dat bestaat, maar heel lang geleden had ik er wel eens naar gekeken. Had ik daar gehoord.
Als je naar mij kijkt, ik ben hoogbejaard en zo lang bestaat het al.
Nee, zo lang bestaat het niet.
Nee, ruim 30 jaar.
Nee. Maar, en ik ging iedere zondag kijken. En ik vond het hartstikke mooi. Dus
maar
ik denk,
wat trof je dan ineens?
Blijdschap. En die zang die vond ik prachtig. En die preken die zeiden wat. Ja. En dat was heel wat anders. Het interesseerde mij nooit in de katholieke kerk. Wat voor preken dat ze. Het zei me niks. Maar dit wel. Dit sprak je aan. Ja. Dus op een gegeven moment dacht ik, weet je wat, ik zal eens schrijven dat ik het zo mooi vind. Ze doen het. Ja, dat zouden ze wel leuk vinden, denk ik. Nou, en ik kreeg een telefoontje. Han Hogendoren. hij zegt, heb je al een Bijbel? Ik zeg, nee, heb ik niet. Wil je er een hebben? Ik zeg, ja, ik zou er best eentje willen hebben. Nou, zegt hij, zal ik opsturen? Hij stuurde het op. Nou, en ik heb in die Bijbel zitten lezen, dag en nacht.
Ja?
Ik vond het zo mooi. Ik vond het gewoon prachtig.
Nou, de Bijbel die je kennelijk van kaf tot kaf aan het lezen bent, dat is toch niet zo'n heel makkelijk boek om te lezen.
Nee, het was natuurlijk niet zo'n dikke Bijbel, maar zo'n denk alleen het Nieuwe Testament.
Ah, oké.
Okay. Ja, ik heb het later nooit meer ingekeken, want ik heb nou die andere Bijbels natuurlijk.
Ja,
dus dat vond ik gewoon prachtig. Ja.
En zo langzamerhand ging je je geloof ontwikkelen?
Ja, daar had ik eigenlijk nog niet eens erg in. Ik vond het gewoon allemaal mooi. Maar om nou te zeggen echt dat ik echt zo aan God al dacht of aan Jezus dacht. Aan Jezus al helemaal niet, want wij zeiden nooit. Jezus werd bijna nooit genoemd, hè. Tenminste, niet in de katholieke kerk. Dus altijd God. Of Jezus. Ja, maar enkele keer. Maar niet zoals wij eigenlijk juist Jezus gebruiken.
Je kwam hier bij me binnen en je zei, ik ga over mijn achtergrond vertellen, maar ik wil niet negatief doen over mijn katholieke kerk.
Nee, dat is ook niet de bedoeling.
Nee.
Het ligt aan mij.
Ja.
Ja. En toen dacht ik, ik had dus de visie. Ja, niet omdat ik dat blad wou hebben, maar mijn zus had het een keer zomaar gekregen. En toen zegt ze, wil jij het hebben, want ik had geen blad. Ik zeg, oh dag, geef maar. Hij vond het hartstikke mooi. Nou, en toen de EO. En ik denk, weet je wat, ik ga eens op de computer kijken. Dat was wel mooi. En hadden ze het ook, stonden ook dingen over Jezus en zo. En toen kreeg ik pas eigenlijk dat ik het voelde zo. Dat er iets was.
Was je ervan bewust dat God aan de deur van je hart stond te kloppen?
Nee, ik wist helemaal niet dat zoiets bestond. Ik wist niet dat zoiets bestond. Ik had de druk en ik had van alles te doen. En ik miste niks.
Nee. Ja. Heb je ook een boekje toegestuurd? Dat heb je alvast neergelegd. Positieve gebeden voor een leven vol kracht. Bijna een stuk gelezen. Wat trof je hierin? Uitgave van Hour of Power, dit boekje. Vind je het voorlezen?
Ja, daar zitten een heleboel mooie gebeden in. Maar één blad zit erin. En ik sloeg het door. Ik pak het iedere keer en dan keek ik weer. Ik sla het open en ik kom hier. God houdt van mij.
Lees het eens voor.
Helemaal?
Helemaal.
Dank u, Heer, voor deze wonderbare zin. Voor dit goede nieuws, dit blijde bericht, deze opwindende gedachte, deze troostende waarheid. Deze geweldige les, God houdt van mij. God houdt van mij, zelfs wanneer ik op mijn slechts ben. God houdt van mij, zelfs wanneer mijn geloof klein is. Het is onbegrijpelijk en fantastisch. Dank u, Vader. Amen.
Ja. Wat ik... Ja, ga je aan.
Maar ik zag alleen maar dit. God houdt van mij. En wat er toen gebeurde... Nou, daar is mij geen pen te beschrijven. Ik kreeg het warm. Ik begon te huilen. En ik werd van binnen zo gelukkig. Dat kan ik gewoon niet begrijpen. En ik wist niet dat zoiets bestond. Maar ik voelde meteen... Ja, dit is iets bijzonders. Dit is God. En toen dacht ik ineens, ja, ik heb toch wel eens ergens gelezen dat Jezus in je hart kan komen. Dat kwam toen ineens in mijn gedachten. Ik denk, ik weet het. Jezus is in mijn hart gekomen. Ik voel het gewoon, dat kan niet anders. Dat moet het zijn.
Als ik naar je kijk, je bent bijna 82, toch? Dan spettert de levenslust en de vreugde uit die ogen, die spetteren er vanaf. Ben je altijd zo geweest?
Nee. Nee, ik ben echt helemaal veranderd. Ik heb, ik ben gewoon gelukkig. Ik ben zo gelukkig.
Wat zegt je omgeving?
Die zien dat.
Zeg je nu, als je terugkijkt op dat inmiddels lange leven van je... Nou, dat waren toch wel een aantal verloren jaren. Of valt dat mee?
Ja. Oh, erg. Ja. Maar van de andere kant ben ik toch dankbaar dat ik het nou nog gekregen heb.
Ja. Wat zou je tegen mensen willen zeggen... die ook willen meemaken wat jij hebt meegemaakt?
Nou, dan zou ik zeggen, als je ook gelooft dat Jezus voor al onze zonden gestorven is, en je verlangt er echt naar dat Jezus ook in jouw hart komt, dan zou ik de deur wagenwijd openzetten dat de Heer binnen kan komen. En dan... Ja, dat is gewoon fantastisch. Dan word je zo gelukkig.
Ja, en geluk, dat is onbeschrijfelijk.
Ja.
Wel, ik wil je heel hartelijk danken dat je hier was.
Graag gedaan, hoor.
Je bent een jonge, oudere gelovige. Geweldig. Ik vond het fantastisch. Wat heb je als hobby's?
Computeren.
Je weet het.
En mijn iPhone, van alles.
Geweldig.
Ja,
nou, als je gaat twitteren, dan kunnen we met elkaar gaan twitteren.
Oh.
Nou, ik zou dat erbij doen. Dan kan je zo op je iPhone.
Ja.
Ja. Ik verwacht jouw Twitterbericht af.
Nou, dat weet ik nog niet.
Zullen je
dat
even doen? Straks een account aan te maken op Twitter? Ja? Ja. Oké. Okay. Nou, ik kan je nog wat leren. Maar je hebt mij heel veel geleerd en ontzettend veel geleerd. Ik wil je hartelijk bedanken. Ik geef je graag dit mooie boek. Ik ben met u. Gods belofte voor elke dag. 365 dagen lang.
Fijn.
Ja, fijn.
Oh, fijn.
Mag ik
prachtig.
Dan dit boekje?
Nee.
De,
nee? Nee, die neem ik ook mee.
Oh, die neem ik ook mee. Oké. Okay. Ja. Alsjeblieft.
Dank
je wel. Wij gaan
terug
naar de Kerstelijke Bibel. En daar wordt gezongen het bekende Gloria uit de mis van Mozart.
Van Mozart, dat is mooi. Ja, dat is mooi.
Hartelijk bedankt dat je hier was. En prachtig verhaal van Nel. En ik wil even zeggen dat Hour of Power er voor iedereen is. En dat we op geen enkele kerk of gemeenschap kritiek hebben. En dat Nel dat ook niet zo bedoeld heeft. En dat we blij zijn met elke plek waar het woord van God verkondigd wordt. En dat we hopen met de uitzendingen dat te mogen onderstrepen. En nu dus, naar de Christelijke Kathedraal, waar alle koren, kinder, jongeren en het grote koor het Gloria zingen.
Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine that they glorify your works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." Very interesting question. Somebody comes up to you during the week and says, "How you doing?" What's your response? "How you doing?"
Good.
Good. Sheila's good. What do they say in Australia? "How you doing?"
Quite good.
Quite good. Quite good. That's better than good. A little bit. What do they say? What do you say? What do you say?
Muy bien.
Muy bien. Is that better than good?
Yes.
Oh, good. It's better than good. Muy bien. That's very good. That's our response. Does anybody here say, when somebody comes up to you and says, "How you doing?" "Well, quite frankly, I'm the light of the world." "How you doing?" "I'm the light of the world." Whoa, what they put in your orange juice this morning? Right? You don't walk around saying, "I'm the light of the world," but you should. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." That's like if I could sing like Barbra Streisand, I'd never stop singing. And Jesus tells us, "You are the light of the world." Man, why don't we proclaim that more in our lives? Because we don't wake up, if you're like me, you don't wake up feeling like you're the light of the world. How many wake up feeling like you're the light of the world? You jump out of bed, "I'm the light of the world." You don't. Why? Why? Very important question. Because the world says you're not. The world will tell you you're not. The world will tell you you're not good enough, smart enough, thin enough, rich enough, have the right connections, have the right breeding, the right heritage. That's what the world's going to tell you, right? The world tells you you don't measure up, and we wonder why we don't jump out of bed saying, "We are the light of the world." Jesus told us, "We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world." So the question is, how do we turn the negatives in our life into positives? How do we start feeling like we're the light of the world? How do you turn darkness in your life into light? Biggest question, how do you perpetuate joy? So you wake up feeling like you're the light of the world. You've got this joy inside of you that just bubbles out. The message title is Your Miracle Breakthrough. And we'll add two words to it, of joy. Because today we're going to have a miracle breakthrough of joy. You will walk out of here realizing joy is possible. More than that, you will walk out of here feeling it. I guarantee, I don't often say I guarantee a miracle this morning. I guarantee a miracle for everybody who wants one this morning. If you want a breakthrough of joy, you're going to get it. I promise you. Now, how are we going to get that? How are we going to get that? We're going to go to a tremendous story. A story in the book of Luke, chapter 5, and if you read along, it's chapter 5, Luke 5, 17 through 30. Now, we learn in this story that Jesus, on a certain day, Jesus was teaching. That's what we learn, okay? Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are there. They're at a certain house and they are there, right? Now, think of a Pharisee. Everybody says, "What's a Pharisee?" Think of a Pharisee as a businessman who knows his Bible. He's a middle-class businessman who went to college and he majored in business and he minored in biblical studies. He knows the law all the way back to Moses. They know their Old Testament. They know their law. That's a Pharisee. And teachers of the law, they were scribes, because scribes had to meticulously copy the Old Testament scriptures. They had to meticulously copy them word for word, so they knew the law. This is a tough crowd. The Pharisees and the scribes are in this crowd. Now, it also says that people came from all over. It says they came from all over Judea. They came all over from Jerusalem. They came from all over because they heard that Jesus was teaching. Jesus' notoriety was spreading. Get this. If the synagogues of old are like the churches of today, nobody could keep a secret. Right? Nobody can keep a secret. Only two people in the world that can keep a secret if one of them is dead. Right? Oh, come on. You'll get that in a minute. You'll get that in a minute. Only two people can keep a secret if one of them's dead. Notoriety was spreading about Jesus. You don't think word was spreading like wildfire that Jesus was performing miracles? If you saw a blind man healed or a paralytic walk, I guarantee you'd tell 50 of your friends, then you'd post it on Facebook, and it would be in New York within 5 minutes, and probably in London and Russia. Everybody would know, you won't believe what I just saw. It was just like that in Jesus' day. They just didn't have Facebook. It was spreading. Jesus' notoriety was spreading like wildfire. There were a lot of people around this house. There were a lot of people around this house. And there's one line that I love. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal in this place, was present with Jesus. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Notice I don't normally get excited. I get excited. The power of the Lord was present to heal. When you see the word power, think Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you see the word power in the Bible, pay attention, because something cool is going to happen. Power. The power of the Lord was present with Jesus to heal. Now, there were some men who understood this. They understood Jesus had the power to heal. We don't know how many men. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we understand that some men were carrying a paralytic on a bed, or probably some type of cot that they put together. And we don't know how many. It could have been four, could have been six, could have been more. Some friends were carrying this paralytic man. And they're trying to fight their way through this crowd that came from all over Galilee and all over Jerusalem and all over Orange and Santa Ana and Mission Viejo and Indianapolis and New York. They're trying to get through all these people. There's a lot of people around this house that Jesus is in. They can't get through. So they devise a plan. There's an exterior staircase on a lot of homes in that day. So they go up this exterior staircase and they devise a plan. They're going to lower this man in front of Jesus through the roof. Now, what's going on downstairs? What's going on underneath that roof? Room full of people. Imagine you're having the biggest dinner party you could ever imagine. Everybody here is in my house. And we're all there, right? And Jesus is in the middle. All of a sudden, you got a skylight you didn't plan on. The roof opens up. And you're the owner. Hey, get off my roof. What are you doing? They're cutting a hole in my roof. Can you imagine the murmurs through the crowd? There's a bunch of ladies over here giggling, saying, can you believe they're cutting a hole in his roof? You know? And there's some other people over here shocked that somebody's cutting a hole in a roof. And all of a sudden they start lowering this paralytic man in front of Jesus. And these people see this man start to come down. Imagine you're in that crowd, in a house, and you're seeing this happen. Imagine the murmuring and then the hushed tones as everybody in the crowd just kind of backs away and you create this circle. And there's this circle and the man's coming down in the middle and there stands Jesus. What's going to happen? Imagine this scene. Picture it in your own house. What does Jesus say? It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, the paralytic, man, your sins are forgiven. Your sins. Your sins are forgiven. I can picture the guys up on the roof. Forget the sins. Heal his legs. Heal his legs. I've often wondered what the paralytic thought. He's laying there hoping for a miracle for his legs, and he's thinking, sins? Heal my legs. I've been living with this for years. Can't make a living. Heal my legs. And yet Jesus says, when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. That really gives me pause. Because here's a man who's paralyzed, and yet in Jesus' mind, the most precious gift he can bestow is forgiveness. Does that give you pause? The most precious gift Jesus can bestow is forgiveness. Wow. Now what happens among the Pharisees and the scribes? Who is this who blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God? That's what the Pharisees are saying. Who can forgive sins but God? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose, took up his bed he was lying on, and departed the house. And he left glorifying God. And all were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Now it's really interesting to me, that Jesus did not heal the man whose legs were paralyzed because the man wanted his legs healed. Did you get that? Jesus did not heal the paralytic because the paralytic wanted his legs healed. Why did Jesus heal him? Jesus healed him, he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins," that's when he turned and said, "Get up and walk." He healed the man's legs so everybody else in the house knew that he had the power to forgive sins. That guy getting up and walking wasn't the miracle. The miracle was Jesus' forgiveness. That's the most precious gift, the most precious gift Jesus can give. You need a breakthrough today. We talked about it. You need a breakthrough of joy. Who? Joy can come today because there's power in forgiveness. Unbelievable power. It's the most precious thing God and Jesus can give you. It's forgiveness. In the Lord's Prayer, right after Jesus says, "But deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We usually stop there, right? That's the last thing you should do, because usually right after that, there's a really important point that's going to be made. And Jesus made it. Immediately after he said amen, Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That register with anybody? We are plagued with unforgiveness. It's rampant in our society. Do not let it steal your joy. You can walk out of here with joy. You can walk out of here saying, "I'm the light of the world." Do you want that? You can have that. It's called forgiveness. And there's a great story. I'm just going to read it to you. I could try to just tell you the story, but it's so great right out of Scripture, and it's so descriptive, and Jesus told it, and I'm not going to try to trump him, because this is an amazing, amazing story. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him that owed him $10,000. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and so that payment could be made. The servant fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the $10,000. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him $100. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt. I forgave you the $10,000 because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers till he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you if from his heart he does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's a powerful illustration, folks. I know when I read that illustration, the last thing I want to be is unforgiving. And it's hard in this society. It's hard with what you're going through in your life. It's hard with what I'm going through in my life. But it's possible. And it's possible because Jesus went to that cross. Jesus forgave us, unspeakable sin when he went to that cross. And all he asks is that we forgive our fellow brothers and sisters. So today, if you want joy, you want true joy in your life, just hold out your hand. Close your eyes. Hold out your hand. I want you to take every bit of bitterness that's in your heart towards somebody or many somebodies, every bit of anger, every bit of anger. It doesn't matter if you were raped, if some drunk driver killed your son or daughter or paralyzed you. Whatever horrific thing you are holding against somebody else, I want you to picture that thing in the palm of your hand. And then in your heart, from your heart of hearts, pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I give this bitterness to you. Lord Jesus, I forgive and name the name. Name the name in your heart that you need to forgive right now. Lord Jesus, I hand this to you. I forgive them from my heart of hearts. I harbor no bitterness. You forgave my sin on the cross. I leave this debt with you. It is no mine no longer. Replace that bitterness with joy. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset, no dawning, only eternal life and light forevermore. Amen.
En zo zijn we gekomen aan het einde van deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Een uur vol kracht, want dat betekent Hour of Power. En één woord, dat horen we bijna elke uitzending. En veel, een zesletterig woord. L-I-E-F-D-E. Liefde. En die liefde van God naar mensen toe en van mensen naar elkaar, dat verbindt ons. En dat verbindt ons ook met onze kijkers. En ik wil iedereen heel hartelijk bedanken voor het kijken, voor de steun die we krijgen. Ja, Nel vertelde het al, ze computert veel. En dat is natuurlijk geweldig, want Hour of Power heeft een aantal fantastische websites. Dus blijf in contact met ons, www.hourofpower.nl. En wist u dat elke kerkdienst in de afgelopen jaren, maanden en weken is uitgezonden, terug te zien is bij Hour of Power. Volgende week hoop ik dominee Schuller te spreken over de kracht van het gebed. Ik zie hier wat op de grond liggen. Nel is haar iPhone vergeten. Nou, ik zal zorgen dat ze die krijgt. Een hele goede zondag en vergeet niet contact met ons te houden. Via de telefoon of via de hooplijn of via een brief of een telefoontje. Iedereen een hele goede zondag toegewenst.